A short while later, Silas approached the clearing where I awaited him. A side of pork was roasting over an open fire. The sweet smell carried on the breeze I'd conjured, pushing at the would-be paladin's way. Next to me sat a pitcher of the finest ale, something to cool a parched throat after a long day of walking. All was perfect. I had considered taking the guise of a simple mortal, a mere traveler on the road, but opted instead to appear as myself. As he entered the clearing, he spied me adorned in my gleaming plate armor with my mighty axe, Doomsplitter, at my side. Though I wore the same flesh as before my ascension, the divine power crackling off me made it painfully obvious that I was not of this world. The look on Silas's face as he approached told me he understood my divinity. His eyes were wide, and he had a wistful look upon his face. "May Tuareg bless you, stranger." "He already has," I replied with a knowing grin. "Come, sit with me." Silas hesitated, though.
"Are you..."
"Am I him?" "No." His face dropped ever so slightly. "I suppose it was too much to hope for. My name is Theoden Grimstrike, and I sit at Tuareg's right hand in the mountain known as..." "Hold on. What are you doing?" Before I could even finish my introduction, Silas had already thrown himself at my feet, tears in his eyes, and began showering my boots with kisses. "Stop that." He spied my axe and pointed to it. "Please, sir, beat me senseless with your weapon." "What?" "Lop off my useless arms so that I might learn humility." "That's not what..." "Or my legs, so that I might crawl in the dirt forever like the filthy worm I am." "For Tuareg's sake, have some dignity, man." "Dignity is a sin, O merciless one," Silas muttered, his lips still glued to my boots. "Self-respect, too." This was not going quite as I'd planned. I tried to be rational, asked him to stop groveling, to stand up and act like a man. But I might as well have been talking to a tree stump. Finally, I grabbed him by the scruff of the neck and dragged him back to his feet. "Knock it off, or I'll split your fucking skull." I hadn't meant to lose my temper, but it was the only thing that seemed to get through to him. Albeit it was less fear I saw in his eyes and more wistful anticipation. Before he could ask if I was serious about cleaving his head in, I pointed toward a log on the far side of the fire. "Sit your ass there and grab some food." Silas did as he was told, at least on the sitting part. I watched for several long seconds, trying to figure out the rest. "Tell me, boy, is there a reason you're digging in the dirt?" He looked up. "I'm searching for some grubs." "Why, pray tell?" "You told me to grab food. I was simply looking for a meal worthy of a maggot such as..." "Grab some pork, you bleeding idiot." Gah! This wasn't going as I'd planned. I hadn't set out to scream at the lad, but he had a way about him that was best described as brain-meltingly stupid. I took a deep swallow from my flagon of ale and decided that I'd start again after we'd eaten. Perhaps a good meal, likely the first proper one he'd eaten since being pulled from his dead mother's teat, would open his eyes a bit. "That's right. Take a big bite." Silas did as I ordered him to, ripping off a large hunk of pork. I expected a look of nirvana to pass before his eyes at the exquisitely spiced meat, but all I saw was confusion. "What's the matter? You don't like it?" He chewed for an extra long time before finally swallowing.
"I don't know."
"How do you not know?"
"Is it supposed to have this much flavor?"
"Of course." Silas nodded and dumped the rest onto the ground.
"Then I don't like it."
"What?"
"This is a test, isn't it? Don't worry, I've studied the scripture thoroughly. For it was written that the great god Tuareg looked down at his servants in their homes, and he was displeased. For they spent more time preparing their food than they did praying. And verily he did drop his breeches and drown them in his holy excretions for their transgression. Your lesson is not lost upon me, O mighty one. Flavor is sinful.
What? That's ridiculous.
Forget that nonsense and take another bite.
Silas shook his head, that idiotic grin still on his face.
The salt of sin shall not sour my lips. Fear not. I will resist the temptation.
It's not temptation. It's just supper.
A sinful supper? That's the worst kind.
I took another bite, then spat it out, my appetite gone in the face of this boy's ignorance. Seeing the rapturous look on his face, I quickly added, "It was just some grizzle. Don't get your breeches in a bunch."
"I'm not wearing any. I prefer my armor to chafe."
That was far more than I truly cared to know.
Not what I meant.
"Oh, then,"
I pointed toward his backpack.
"Haven't you ever questioned anything written in that blasted book?"
It was time to get to the point.
"No."
"Not even some of the more ridiculous shite that's scribbled in it?"
"With Tuareg, nothing is ridiculous."
"Nothing?"
"Of course not."
Fortunately, I was familiar with the so-called scripture he'd studied. I'd spent some time reading through it, and it was as if whoever wrote the damned thing hadn't the foggiest idea about the true nature of Tuareg. Either that, or they'd purposely ignored it. Considering where the dwarves of the shrine originated from, I had to assume the latter. But that was neither here nor there. What mattered was that some of the tales by these heathens wouldn't have made a convincing bedtime story for even the stupidest child. I decided to throw one of the worst offenders back in this fool's face. "What about that preposterous tale of the flood?"
Silas perked up.
"I know it well. Tuareg appeared to a human named Noah and told him that he must build a massive ship out of wood, because he planned to drown the world and all the sinners in it."
"Yes, I know. You don't have to recite the stupid thing. I simply meant,
Noah worked for years to build the ship, laboring to complete it and forcing his family to work their fingers to the bone alongside him. Then, when it was finally finished, he worked tirelessly to fill it with two of each creature upon the land, so that once the world was pure again, they could go forth and multiply."
I tried to interrupt, but the boy wasn't to be stopped once he started.
"And then," Silas decreed with a big smile, "the rains came. The world was flooded and the vessel capsized in an ensuing torrent. Noah was drowned, along with everyone aboard his ark. All the while, Tuareg sat with the dwarves in their waterproofed mines and shared a laugh at the stupidity of man."
Aha, there it was. Do you see what I mean? Preposterous.
"How so?"
"If Tuareg drowned all the long legs, then how do you explain all the people in the world today? Did they sprout from rocks?"
Silas turned his head and looked around as if afraid of being watched. Then he lowered his voice. "Wickedness finds a way."